Welcome to Reach For It Radio Show with your host, Christina Winslow. This program offers entertainment, inspiration, and fun as we feature practical tools to help you achieve what is actually possible. Learn new ways to reach for the stars and attain what you really want out of life. You just might find it is easier than you think. And now, your host, Christina Winslow.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Are you ready for 2015 yet? I know we're all thinking about the holidays right now, and probably a lot of us pulling our hair out, just trying to get everything done and for functions and friends, work, and family, year-end stuff. But today is a great day for the show, and I hope you all can listen to this show again after, you know, the new year, because we're going to have some really good tools for you. And we're going to talk about goal setting and what's coming, you know, how you can set goals for 2015 and turning dreams into reality. And our special guest is Bob Wheeler. He is a keynote speaker, CFO of the Comedy Store in LA, and author of The Money Nerve. And he's going to share with us today how to visualize, create, take small steps, add deadlines, but set those goals for 2015 so we can make some of our dreams come true and make them into a reality. And let's call this a year of game changing, right? All those things on our New Year's resolutions, all those things that we have not created that we want to create. Bob's going to give us some new tools today, and I'm so excited, Bob. Thanks for being with us.
It's great to be here. I love this stuff, so I'm always happy to have the opportunity.
Well, you know, Bob, we for the listeners over here on wonderful BBS Radio, Bob and I had done a show in the past on his book, The Money Nerve, which is a great show, and he talks a lot about issues, you know, that we all go through with money. And if you guys want more information about that, jot this down. His website is themoneynerve.com. But today, Bob, I'm so glad you're on. I am probably obsessed with goal setting. That's just my personality. You know, I get excited about tax law, even though I barely made it through accounting classes in college. But I do like goal setting, and I love talking to you because you come from not only your CPA and your CFO with a really cool CFO job, I must say, for the Comedy Store. But, you know, you also understand energy. You understand vibration. You understand manifesting. And I love the combination. So, Bob, let's get started. What do you have for us?
Let's do it. Let's do some game changing.
Sounds good. Okay, so let's talk about how you want to start us out today on the show.
Well, so let's actually talk about goals for 2015 and how do we make them happen. You know, every year people sit down and make their resolutions, and you know, by March we just sort of push them aside and say, oh, we'll do that next year. So for me, one of the things is let's talk about those goals. Let's write out those resolutions or write out those goals, and then let's don't just make that list. Let's spend some time with it. Let's look at what are our short-term goals? What do we want to do immediately in the next few months? What do we want to do in the next year and a half? What do we want to do in the next 2 to 3 years? And then identify the priorities. I want this one first. I want this one second. And again, taking a look at what am I going to need for this goal to happen? Do I need equipment? Do I need how much money? And how much can I set aside each month so that I can then actually break it out in steps? One of the things I think for a lot of people, and especially our culture, says let's get from A to Z without doing each of the steps. And so for me, it's more about let's take baby steps. Let's go from A to B. Then let's go from B to C and not be so impatient looking for, you know, that instant gratification, but let's take our time and go through each of the steps so that we can actually make it happen.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because so many people in the new thought movement, New Age, metaphysical consciousness. They're all promising these get rich quick schemes. Mm-hmm. Like you just skip from A to Z, and then after people pay thousands of dollars of these classes because they can't quote unquote receive money, right, and they need the classes to receive it. You know, what about the good old fashioned hard work, step by step? And it's a shame that so many people are getting taken advantage of the get rich quick teachers out there.
You know, I agree with you. It's so attractive to hear something on the media that says you don't have to do any work. Just pay this money and you'll lose weight. Pay this money and you'll have millions of dollars in your bank. And maybe that works for a few people. That hasn't been my experience. My experience is the people that sit down, and it's not real sexy. It's just basic hard work, doing the steps. It's putting away $10 a month instead of waiting for that super big bonus that I'm going to really put away a big chunk and then start my savings account. No, it's start with $10. Start with $20. Make those little baby steps, and each of those steps gets you to the end of your destination.
So you see things from a much different perspective than most people, because you see how businesses succeed and how they fail from all the CPA work you've done over the mm-hmm. years. And can you tell us, you know, on these little steps, the $10 a month kind of people, the people that you've seen grow businesses, can you give us a little insight from your perspective of people? What, you know, what mistakes do they make? Or, you know, when you see a pattern in someone, you know, oh, that's a pattern of success, because I've seen someone go from hardly any clients to now, you know, making a very comfortable living in their small business. Do you get where I'm going with that, Bob?
Absolutely. So, the one thing I see in people that are successful, and this is really something I also encourage, is people that have a willingness to do the work, willing to be uncomfortable when it's not perfect, willing to just stick with it and look for support or whatever they might need. So having that willingness, and then setting an intention of this is where I want to go. This is my intention. I will consciously make choices that support my goal, and really keeping that in the consciousness. And then I also think it's important to have integrity, with ourselves, that we are going to be honest with this is really what I want, and I'm not going to take little shortcuts and then justify them and then later claim that I'm a victim because I made choices that didn't support my intention.
So what about that? Let's go there, because how many people are, you know, well, yeah, I would set goals, but I don't know if my job's going to be there next year. How do I set a goal that, you know, or I lost my job, or, you know, I can't put $10 a month away because I'm using my credit cards right now just to help pay for the groceries and my kids and all of that. Like, how do people get out of that?
So the first thing when I'm dealing with people that have a lot of credit card debt or don't think that there's really any money left over, is to really start looking at, what's the money coming in? With no judgment, just curiosity. What's the real money coming in? I get a check and it's $1,230, so in my mind I get $1,300 because I round it up. Round it down. I spend $260 on my groceries, but I say to myself, oh, it's like it's $200 instead of rounding it up to $300, right? So I'm always shortchanging myself in both directions. So one thing is to really just start looking at where's the money going and where's the money coming from. Because if I don't know that, I can't even start to make a plan. One of the things I find in my workshops, when I have people write down money coming in and money coming out for a couple of weeks, their money spending changes immediately because nobody wants to write it down and report it back to me. Right?
Because that's good, though.
It's great. People will tell me, I actually didn't spend any money this week because I didn't want to write it down and have to tell you about it. So making ourselves accountable. You know?
Yeah.
Hey, and if that works, I love it. And then really then start to look at those choices. Gee, I'm spending 5 $5 a day on coffee for, you know, expensive lattes, or I'm spending $10. I have so many people that don't realize how much they spend for a scone and coffee on a regular basis, that they could maybe go out and buy a coffee machine and, you know, make coffee at home. So little things like that. Or I have clients that say, well, you know what, I have to eat out 4 nights a week. Do you? Could you give one of those nights up and then put $50 into your savings account? So it starts to be about conscious choice in how we're spending that money and deciding, do we want to make a different choice or do we want to stay in the story where we are? Neither is wrong. It's just, what do I really want at the end of the day? Where do I want to be? And am I willing to start to give up a little bit of stuff in the moment for a delayed gratification? Because a lot of people, you know, want the instant.
Yeah, it's the instant. Or I see a lot of people will give things away, you know, like, I'm going to pay this spiritual person $50 a month so they can write their book, but I don't have any money in savings, you know? And it's like, whoa, you made a year commitment to give someone $50 a month so they could write a book, you know? Right. And it's like, people will give the money away before they will give to themselves. What's that? You know, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think a lot of people, there's a couple of things. A lot of people don't feel that we're allowed to actually feel good about giving to ourselves or when we have success. You know, I'll see people, they'll get a new car, they'll buy a house they worked really hard for, and you'll say, oh, wow, you got a new car. Well, actually, I inherited some money, and then I got a really good deal, and so I didn't really get, it's not as good as it looks. So don't be mad at me, right? Because we all want to have success, and then as soon as we have success, other people come at us saying, wow, aren't you greedy? Aren't you selfish? That's the fear. We're going to be judged for having it do good, because there's a lot of pain and there's a lot of suffering in the world, so we don't want to seem like we have it too good. So a lot of people, and then a lot of people just feel uncomfortable with, let me take care of myself first, because we're taught it's always better to give than receive. But actually, it's a balance. We need to be able to receive as much as we give.
You know, Bob, I used to be that person. And that's why I think it really resonates with me what you're saying, because I used to give it all away. I would give to everything, you know, family members, friends. I would give it strangers, every charity. And then I finally, you know, and I was following all the advice to give all the money away and tithe to everything. And I'm not getting in a tithing Bible debate with the audience, right. Please. If you right. believe in that, I'm not changing it. But I decided with my husband, you know what? We're going to give in other ways. We're going to give with our time. We're going to, if instead of selling this nice piece of furniture, we're going to give it away to someone who could use it. And we still were generous.
Right.
With our, you know, very generous. But we did it in other ways and not money. And it did not hurt our money flows. It actually helped our money flows.
Right.
So, absolutely. You know, that's a weird one for me, because a lot of people are like, no, you have to give all this away. But then they're not able to pay their bills.
Well, you know, Christmas is a great example of a lot of people are going to go out and spend several hundred dollars, if not thousands of dollars, to get gifts to everybody else so that everybody will know that they're good people. And then they're going to get a credit card bill. And they're going to spend January, February, March, and April paying off all their goodness instead of budgeting and really actually living within their means.
Yeah, and I think there's so many ways we can give, you know, just even just a random act of kindness to a stranger. You can give every day in many ways, and you don't have to hurt yourself financially to do it.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the other thing about giving away, too, is for some people, like, I can tell you my personal experience, and obviously I've done some work, and actually my family's done a lot of work. But when I was younger, things seemed to be going well for me, and the rest of my family was struggling. And there was a lot of punishment that came towards me because there was a bit of jealousy. So what I did was I just started pushing my money. I just would get rid of all my money so that my family wouldn't be mad at me. And I that was more important to me, that my family liked me. And so I just started, you know what, I'm dumping the money. That actually is what helped me trigger this self journey. Was I started looking around at other people that had less than me, that weren't as educated as me, that didn't have the advantages, and they were significantly wealthier, had better money habits. And I said, wait a minute, I'm doing something. What's going on here? What's this self-sabotage? I have the skills, I have the tools, and I'm not using them.
That's a big thing, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you know your family is not doing well and your relatives or your good friends, and then you want to buy that new house or, you know, and instead of diminishing your success or sabotaging it, you know, how do people hold themselves in that space of, you know what, I'm okay, I'm worthy of this, I worked hard for it, and it doesn't make me feel better than anybody. But I wanted a nice car, or I wanted a new house. So is there do you see a different mindset with the people that you work with who can have the nice car but still be spiritual, grounded and humble and kind, and, you know, like, you know, a lot of people don't know those people. They know the mean rich relative.
Right.
Right? Who uses money and presents as weapons, not as, not holding the space of love with it or just kindness, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing that I do see, the people that are able to hold their own and feel okay about all that, having all of those things and still having compassion, still being spiritual, they tend to not be an ego. They, you know, they allow themselves to have those things without making it, I have this so that I can be better than, I have this so I can hold power. It's more of, I'm allowing myself to receive these gifts because I do give to the world, and I deserve to benefit from my hard work. And that doesn't take away from my goodness. And my ability to have more money allows me to potentially influence more people. So for me, I see people that step out of their ego and aren't comparing, aren't using it for power plays, are the ones that live a much more comfortable and satisfying life because it's not about being better than.
Right, right. And I think a lot of people have that old mindset or that family program that if I get money, it will change you to be mean or ego, you know. And so I think this is a great topic today to help clear people and open their minds for goal setting so they can really get what they are looking for next year, Bob.
Absolutely. And, you know, here's the thing. It's so important to take a personal inventory of our belief system. I in workshops, I really loved, and even just in presentations or talks that I give, I'll ask people, what do you think of rich people? Oh, they're mean, they're selfish, they're greedy, they're like, they have a whole long list. And then I'll say, who wants to be rich? And everybody's like, I do.
Yeah.
Right? And but they haven't reconciled, how can I have this view of what people are with money. I want to be that, but then I don't want to be like them. And we really have to start to look at those, you know, our personal history, our personal beliefs, and really make that decision that I am not doing this from a place of ego. I'm doing it from a place of deserving and hard work, and I am compassionate. I am spiritual. I am all those things. And having money or not having money doesn't take away or add to that.
Well, this is a great conversation, and you're really, how I can feel you clearing a lot of people energetically, Bob, right now. Actually, we have a quick break. When we come back, we're going to speak more to Bob Wheeler about making these goals, these dreams into reality for 2015. Check out his site, themoneynerve.com. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and I have developed a proprietary system that reveals accurate insight into someone's personality traits called Namology Science. This science of unlocking the secrets hidden in a person's name has become so popular that I am offering a Namology Science coaching certification program. Join our international community of certified Namology coaches. Go to knowthename.com for details.
Have you been told you should write a book? Do you need a little help getting started? Or maybe your manuscript is already written and you require some fine-tuning before you publish? Big Country Publishing offers writing coaching packages that are custom tailored to you. Contact Big Country Publishing today so they can help you to get your book and message out to the world. Learn more at www.bigcountrypublishing.com.
Angelic Sound Healing by Amazon's bestseller Ted Winslow. Experience the healing tones of these divine frequencies as you call upon your angels. Transcend yourself into the angelic realm and let your spirit soar to the sensation of theta binaural beats. Now available on Amazon and iTunes, Angelic Sound Healing by Ted Winslow.
Welcome back, everyone. Have you thought about what goals you're setting yet for 2015? Well, Bob Wheeler is here with us today. He's CFO of the Comedy Store in LA. He's a successful speaker and author. Bob, we were just talking before the break about people who want to be rich, yet they have a lot of judgment about rich people not being nice and generous. So now where would you like to take us with that? Because I think that judgment is a big one, and then we end up judging ourselves, maybe, you know. Advice would you give people who have that conflict?
So I think one of the big things is we need to start learning to give ourselves permission to have what we want and not apologize for it. One of the biggest things I get from people after the workshops is people will say to me, thank you for giving me permission to talk about this stuff. I always say to them, you didn't need my permission. You only need your own permission. But a lot of us are looking for that permission. And so, you know, right now, as we're talking, I'm giving all of you to give yourselves permission to go for the goals that you want. Go for the wealth or whatever it is that you want to do, because there's you need to let go of the judgments and really go for those things that are important to you. Whether it's relationships with your family, more time with your children, whether it's starting a foundation, saving horses, whether it's having a big jacuzzi. I mean, it runs the gamut. It's what feels true to you and do it for you, not so that you're better than other people, not that you can show, look at my stack of assets, but what feeds you? What feeds your soul? What feeds your reason for being on this planet?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think people write the list. They write lists, right? Like, I'd like a new car, a new house.
Right.
But what will money really give me? You know, like for me, I'm really into organic, non-GMO food, very expensive for a family of four.
Right.
And you know what? The more money I have, the more of where I can take my money and focus my purchasing and help other farmers or help other people, or I can donate to crowdfunding projects that are working on solar roadways. You know, we can change the world with our money. Those of us who are environmentally conscious, socially helping children, you know, rescue, you know, the child trafficking children. That's, you know, there's so many things that we could put our money toward.
Absolutely. And every day as I come into contact with people, I constantly see how much people really do want to make a difference. People really do want to impact the world. And a lot of us are afraid to show that. A lot of us are afraid to step up and say, I want to have mattered. I want to make a contribution. And these are the things that I could, even in the baby steps, even in you know, buying organic foods. Those are small, subtle changes that really, if more people stepped up into what really they believed in and with intention and integrity, that's what's going to change the world, you know, one step at a time, not leaps and bounds.
You know, I think it was on, it was years ago, Bob. I think it was the Oprah show. I'm not sure, though. It's so long ago. I don't remember who said it. But they said, money doesn't change you. It just magnetizes who you already are.
Right.
And so, you know, that I think is so profound. That's such a great statement. I wish I knew who to give credit. But it's, you know, if you're the type of person who loves horses and you make a lot of money because you took the steps and your goals and you were not judging yourself about having a lot of money, you could go to a horse rescue and pay for the hay for the whole winter for all the horses.
Right.
I mean, there's so many things, you know, it's like kid in a candy store. What could we do to change things? And, you know, so I'm really glad we talked about that because I think that does hold a lot of people back. So now let's say we've helped people clear a little bit of the judgments and the self-sabotage. Then what? Now what should we do for our goals?
So I think it's really important, if not weekly, at least monthly, to actually sit down with ourselves or sit down with our partner or even the kids, however that looks, and actually have set aside an hour to actually revisit the goals, decide if they still have the desired impact, decide if it's still really what you want. Like what I find is I'll make a list of 20 things that I want. And when I come back to it, I'll realize that three or four of them were just things that I thought sounded really good. I don't really want them, but it looked good on the list. And so I really start to get to know, what are the goals? What do I really want? And when do I want it? And how can I make these have impact? So to keep revisiting and staying conscious in my money choices and re-looking at my goals, because let's say, like, at one point I wanted to go to real estate school and get my financial licensing, my brokerage. And I said, oh, those sound really great. And so I spent some money on it, and I got into it, and I said, you know what, I really don't want to be in real estate. I don't really want to be a financial advisor. I like being a CPA. And so then I adjusted. I let it go. I didn't judge myself for saying, well, that was a waste. I looked at it and said, well, that was great that I took those steps, and now that I've explored it, I've changed my mind. We have the right to change our mind, and I sometimes forget that I'm allowed to change my mind. I think if I've made a declaration that I'm going to do something, that I must stick to that no matter what, even if it doesn't serve me. And so I think it's really important to really, on a regular basis, sit down and reevaluate the goals. And how have I done anything towards that goal? And if I haven't, am I going to? Do I need to let that go? And just really keep refining my, you know, what's important to me. The thing about money and the thing about finances is that it's a lifelong relationship. You don't just get to figure it out and then you figure it out on Saturday and you never have to deal with it again. It's an ongoing process that we have to keep evolving and reevaluating.
So what about the naysayers out there saying, Bob, I am never going to get ahead with putting $10 or $20 away a week or a month or even $1,000 away a month. I'm never going to get to my goal. You know, what do you tell those kind of people that feel almost defeated before they start?
Well, I usually tell them when people come to me and say, Bob, it's not possible. I can't do any of that stuff. I tell them you're right. You're right. Because if that's your belief system, humans have a real desire to be right. And so if you want to be right, you will be. If you want to be open to change, you have to be willing to be uncomfortable and willing to see beyond what you can see. We'd be willing to trust that there might be something beyond our limited vision. So if somebody's really locked into, that could never happen for me, I spend a bit of time with them to try and see if that really is really where they want to hold that position. And if I feel that they're locked into that position, you know, I bless them and send them on their way, because they really are more invested in being right than in actually having the life that they want. So there has to be a willingness to step into the uncomfortableness and step into the unknown and be willing to find out something new.
Go ahead.
Well, no, so I just, you know, if one is not willing to even go beyond that. Now, certainly there are people that will come to me and say, Bob, I'm not sure how to do it. I've been trying and trying, and I feel like I keep hitting dead ends. Can you help me? Absolutely. I can work with somebody that feels like it's hopeless, but they want to keep trying. I can deal with those people much more than the people that say, not possible, ever.
Right, right. Because the people that maybe feel hopeless, but they are open-minded enough, you know, there's a chance there. Mm-hmm. So what about this one, Bob? I see this a lot, and I'd love to hear your take on it. When, you know, I did a lot of work with people in the essential oils business many years mm-hmm. ago, okay? And I would see these people that would, like, be, you know, single, or their kids were grown, or they're divorced, or they, you know, and they have a lot of time on their hand. And here I would have little kids, and I'm, you know, and having to get up at 5 a.m. to get 2.5 hours of work done before the kids got up because they were toddlers, right. You know, and I would be squeezing in work time to generate money at, you know, the craziest things. And then I'd have a friend or a colleague or someone coming to me, and they would have all this time on their hands, but they wouldn't be using it to work through their goals.
Right.
You know, they weren't taking a second job or doing anything to, or just doing a little part-time thing to just increase cash flow. What about adding something to bring in more money, not just taking away your current expenses? You know, how do you coach people with that?
So, and I do see this. It's interesting. We all get 24 hours a day. Nobody gets an extra couple hours over anybody else. We all get the same amount of time. And when people come to me and they say, you know what, I want more money, or I want things to be different, and then I'll suggest, well, what about a second job? No, I would never do that. What about this? No, I'm not going to do that. I have this belief that, somebody told me this once, and I got really offended at the time. And I then, when I really took it in, I realized it's true. We're all actually right where we want to be. To a degree, we're right where we want to be, or we would make a change. Now, sometimes we're in the transition of changing, but for a lot of people, they say they want change, but their actions say otherwise. So when I offer people, okay, you hate your job, what about looking at that job as being in service to you while you go to night school to further your education? Or what about making these choices? What about you want to spend more time with your children? What about finding a job that gives you that space? Or, you know, deal with what you've got right now, but having your mind set on something that's different that you can keep on the radar. But a lot of people don't really actually want that. They don't really want to go out and make the effort. A lot of people just really are comfortable with staying, you know, what I say is really playing the victim. I, you know, it's, oh my gosh, I want to have so much, but I'm not willing to do anything to make it happen. So a lot of what I really encourage people, and I talk a lot about, is proactive abundance, is you have to participate in the abundance in your life, whether that's financial, whether that's family time, relationships. We have to participate. If we just sit back and wait for our ship to come in, for waiting for a third party to make it all happen, it might happen, but most likely it's not. So I really encourage people to, what do I really want? Do I want the change? Do I really want more money in my life? And if I don't, that's okay, but trying to get more in truth with what we say, with what our actions are.
Well, you know, the action part is, I think, what gets a lot of people, because it's like, okay, I went without my latte this month, but then you get back in the habit, right? In February, maybe you do good in January, you know, or you know, you're afraid to take that step. You think, you know, I should get a second job, but who's going to hire me? The hours are going to be bad. By the time I do it all, you know, I hear that a lot. Oh, by the time I go do all that, it's not even going to be worth it.
Right. Well, you know, this is where I think it, and one of the reasons that I wrote the book, and I think, you know, speaks to this, is find support. Find a financial partner that you can bounce ideas off of. Hold each other accountable, whether it's your spouse, whether it's a good friend, whether it's just somebody that you know from work. Find support centers so that you can go in and say, I'm struggling, I want something different, I'm afraid to do it. What have you done in the past? What worked for you? There's so much wisdom in the people around us that we just don't tap into. There's so much wisdom. And we think we have to do it alone. And then we do tell these stories in our head. Oh, it's not worth it. I might fail. Is it really going to make a difference? And so we convince ourselves to stay small and not step out and risk being our full potential. And I think it's so important to find those people for support. People will tell me, oh, you know what? I want to do all that, but my spouse is completely, they spend all the money anyway, and they do this and do this. And so I'll suggest to them, maybe you go to your partner and say, hey, listen, I'm trying to do it different. Would you be willing to support me in that rather than going to the spouse saying, you know, I want to have all these different things, but you always spend all the money, you. Instead, say, hey, how can I get you to support me in us making different choices? Are you open to that? Can we explore it? And really looking for team effort, looking outside yourself for the support and wisdom of other people that are around you already that might be looking for the same thing.
I think that's a really good point, because I think a lot of women go through that, Bob. I work mm-hmm. with a lot of women, and I say, you know, they say, oh, my husband won't let me do this little business or do this job because, or, you know, they have an excuse. And I say, well, did you write a business plan and show your husband why this is a benefit? Or right. could you at least, you know, show him some numbers, show him that you're serious about it, that this isn't just going to waste time and cost him a lot of money. Maybe it's a you know, show him how it can contribute to the family. And so I think I love how you're talking about just getting clear with the goals and writing the goal setting down. Do you believe in vision boards or any of
Absolutely.
Those type of things?
Absolutely. I think they're so important. I have a dream book with all my pictures, and I update it, and I spend time with it and revisit it and put in new pictures. I think it's so important to, I really believe that, you know, see your future, be your future. It's really important that we visualize that I love writing things down. I love vision boards. I think all of that stuff is so important. A lot of us don't take enough time, especially with the technology and smartphones and everything. We don't really take time to spend a little bit of time with ourselves, a little bit of quiet time to clear out our minds and really focus on what we really want.
So you have a dream book. That's interesting. I like that better than a board. So no, I do, because I don't want a big board in my office. And I have a business meeting and they're like, oh, you're charging me this because you want a Mercedes, are you?
No. Right. That's probably subconsciously one of the reasons that I did a book, because I can pull out my notebook and then I also write in it and I make notes and I go back and look at what I was thinking a couple of months ago or a year ago. And so I can see my mental progress. And then I also get to see visually those things that I've wanted to manifest.
Well, that's a good tip. I hope everybody gets out there and buys a notebook and starts their dream book or vision book. That's a great idea, Bob. We have our Last break, stay with us because Bob's going to talk to us about energy work and money and some really cool things he's doing. We are speaking with Bob Wheeler at themoneynerve.com, and we'll be right back.
When it comes to publishing, there is a difference. At Big Country Publishing, they work with you on a personal level to create a custom publishing package that's tailored to your needs as an author. Their design team and experts in the industry will contribute to you to create the book that you've always dreamed of. Isn't it time to go big? Contact them today at www.bigcountrypublishing.com.
Do you feel stuck? Do you feel empty or lost? Have you tried to clear what's not working from your life and have the same issues coming up over and over? There is hope. A heart and soul healing session can retrieve your soul and heal your heart so you can feel love, joy, peace, and abundance. Contact Claudia McNeely today at www.askclaudia.com and feel better now.
Hello. My name is Ted Winslow, and as a professional singer, songwriter, musician, and audio engineer, I have worked with voice coaching for many years. I created a new CD, Vocalist Scales and Intervals, for my clients who are looking for an easy and affordable way to improve the quality of their voice. So, if you're in broadcasting, public speaking, or in the music industry, you'll benefit from the voice exercises. Just load it into your MP3 player and you're ready to go. Vocalist Scales and Intervals by Ted Winslow is now available on iTunes, Amazon, and BigCountryPublishing.com.
Welcome back. Bob Wheeler's with us. Bob, you gave us a great idea about creating a dream book, you know, to replace the vision board concept. What about visualizing goals? And you know, what have you seen in the work that you do and tips you can give the audience?
So I definitely think visualizing is really important, really spending time with yourself and having that quiet time to really let it in. What I find when I don't do that, and I see this with other people, is I have this ability to create this dramatic story in my head of how it's not possible, everybody does it better. I have these Academy Award-winning stories that go in that self-sabotage. And the more I can spend quiet time with myself and actually focus on the things that I yearn for, that I really want to have impact, and really, really let that in so that I can focus on what are the things that are important to me? How do I want to leave this world with my impact? And what are those things that are important to me to have in the time that I'm here? So to me, visualizing and just getting really clear about what's important for me, not based on what do my parents want, what are my friends going to think, what's going to tap in and feed me. It's so important, and a lot of times we actually acquiesce to what we think other people want, or we acquiesce to this, that's maybe not a popular point of view, instead of staying true to ourselves. So visualizing is so important so that we can stay true to ourselves and actually go for all the things that we want in life. Because at the end of the day, you know, the thing that somebody recently told me, the one thing we all have in common is we were all born, we all had an umbilical cord, and like that's where we start. We're all human, and we all have the advantages or disadvantages to go for what we want.
Well, you've given us some great tools. Some people are probably wanting to find out more about what you do, and I know that you are involved in an energy work, money workshop type. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Which involves money, energy, and practical. And those are usually 4 to 10 week workshops. And then I'm also doing, I work with Core Energetics. I'll be certified as a Core Energetics practitioner in May. And we work with the body and energy. And I've started doing money workshops, money at its core, where we don't really talk about specifics of how to budget, but feeling into our bodies and feeling the energy around our money beliefs. And those, at the moment, are mostly in Santa Monica in West L.A., and working on taking those out around the country. But it's so amazing. One of the exercises we do that just has sort of evolved, it's become a real a fun exercise, but where I work with two people standing across from each other. So maybe there's a line of six people on each side. And one side of the room, they all get denominations of dollars in their hands. So maybe somebody has a $100 bill, somebody has a $20 bill. And the people without the money start moving towards the money and just start becoming aware of what's going on for them. And over the process, I start shifting the money. So now I went from $100 to a dollar. Now I went from $5 to $50. And it's amazing how much comes up for people of feeling, why did they get the $100 bill and I got the $1 bill? Maybe I don't deserve the $100 bill. People start to feel like they have no value when the numbers got switched. Like just so much comes up around these pieces of paper that if you were to close your eyes, a $100 bill and a $1 bill would feel exactly the same. And really starting to feel into the energy that we have about touching the money, letting it go, not letting it stay with us too long, because what will happen if I hold on to it? You know, most of us don't actually really hold on to dollar bills. We take them and we either put them in a wallet and hide them, or we immediately spend them. So just learning to sit with that energy, because energy, money is energy. It's a neutral energy that moves around, and then we attach negative or positive associations with them.
That's so true. People don't, you know, enjoy it. You know, it's like, oh, we have to deposit it. We have to worry about losing it. We spend it, get rid of it. That's a good point.
And a lot of people, it's interesting, a lot of people, I work with a lot of people on what's the comfort level of your bank balance. So some people are comfortable with, I've got $100 in my account, and if $50,000 comes in, they'll spend it and get it right back to the $100. Other people, that threshold is, I need $10,000 in my bank account, or, you know, enough just to keep covering the overdrafts. It's different for everybody, but we tend to find this, you know, level that is comfortable for us, and we always seem to go back to that instead of learning to let it be a little bit more. Let me feel comfortable with, if I'm comfortable with $100, let's learn to be comfortable with $5,000. Let's be comfortable with $50,000. A lot of people aren't real comfortable with having too much.
And that's the same thing with charging with services. Mm-hmm. You know, if they put on their website, it's, you know, $195 an hour. But then they say, well, when it was 35, I couldn't even get clients. When it was 35 an hour, I'm like, well, okay, there's probably an issue there, because why are you raising it if, you know, why not really own it, get a bunch of clients at $35 an hour so you're so busy, and then double your price to 70 and eventually get to that 200 an hour, you know, when you can really have it. But people have this weird thing about charging for their work and receiving money for their work. And I think that workshop sounds like it could help a lot of people.
It's amazing. I work with a lot of therapists and a lot of healers, and they have issues with, you know, collecting money at the end of the session because, you know, it was really emotional, and now it would just seem inappropriate to say, give me my money. So we look at ways of asking for the money up front so that you don't, you know, where's your charge? So how do we make it so you can ask for the money you deserve? You're providing a service. I've had bookkeepers come to me that say, you know I deserve more money because I work really hard, but I don't know what to do. And I say, well, what do you think you should raise it to? And if they say $10, I say, add 20. And they'll come back to me and they'll say, oh my gosh, nobody said a word. Everybody just paid me. Right? But we have this fear that everybody's going to leave us. And if we put it out there, the first several years of my CPA practice, it would come to December, and I would think, nobody's going to come back. I'm not going to have any clients this year. No rational reason for it, but it was just this belief that, I don't know, this year I'm not going to be enough. And just starting to trust that, I'm enough, and I have value, and I bring value. And a lot of us just don't believe in our value, and we have to start valuing ourselves before somebody else is going to value us.
I love your honesty about that, because I think a lot of entrepreneurs go through that, and they're like, oh, you get real busy with a lot of clients, and then there's a little lull in there, and you're like, whoa, what's going to happen, but you've given a lot of action items for us today, and I hope it helps a lot of people out there. Before we finish out the show, is there anything you'd like to leave people with, Bob?
I would just like to say that go for what you want. Give yourself permission to have it, and don't compare yourself to other people. Be curious. Don't be judgmental, and go for your full potential. We all deserve to reach our full potential.
Well, and it's a new year coming up. It's a new day. We don't have to do what we did last year. We can change things. And there's still a lot of opportunity out there. Millionaires were made in the Great Depression, as I like to remind myself, so don't look at the economy. Look at opportunities. It might be different. It might look different. It's not impossible, I guess.
It's not impossible. You mentioned Oprah earlier. If you look at Oprah, where she came from and where she's gone to, we all have the ability to come from nothing to being everything. It's available to all of us.
Well, I am excited because I'm going to work on my book.
Fantastic.
I know my kids do it too. That's great. It's a great family activity, actually. So I love that idea. And Bob, thank you so much for being on the show today. It's been such a pleasure. And I can't wait to have you back on, because we always have so much to talk about.
Well, I love it. I'd be glad to be with you anytime. I love this, and I appreciate the opportunity. And I hope you have a great 2015, and I hope you realize all of your goals that you're working towards.
Oh, well, thank you, and I'm sure the audience appreciates that as well. We wish the best for you also, Bob. And then what about your workshops? Do you have any coming up? Do you have any dates coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got Money at Its Core coming up in January and February. I have a couple of workshops, they're listed on my website. And then I'm actually doing a 10-week workshop at Agape Spiritual Center in Culver City. We're doing a 10-week workshop on money and budgeting. And so check out the website, because we're constantly having new workshops. And actually, in the new year, we're going to have some of those online, so people can do them from anywhere. They'll be able to go online and do the workshops.
Oh, that's awesome, because there's a lot of people who can't take work off or travel that far. So that they'll probably really appreciate that you have online workshops. I must say, I'm really happy to hear you're going to be at Agape, because to blend the spiritual and with the money, I think is so important. We're so programmed by the old, dogma of money as the root of all evil and all that. It's nice to hear that other spiritual centers are embracing these concepts.
Absolutely. And I love that they're recognizing the value of that. And I think that's the hope also, is to take it into other spiritual centers, because we do need to get rid of that old belief.
Well, if you want more information about Bob Wheeler and his book, The Money Nerve, and all of his workshops and other offerings, check out his website, themoneynerve.com. Thanks, Bob. My pleasure. And thank you to all of you listening. Make sure you guys tune in, because we have sound healing for you on Christmas, and on the New Year's show, on January 1st show, we have predictions for 2015. It's going to be a really great show. So please tune in live, or you can go to iTunes and listen to download our podcast, or on Stitcher, or of course on our beautiful host page at BBS Radio. You can always listen to our archive shows. Please keep in touch with us. Happy holidays to all of you, and God bless, and have a great week.
Thank you for tuning in this week to Reach For It Radio. Please join your host, Christina Winslow, live each Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, on BBS Radio. Listen live or listen later. Subscribe for free on iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Stitcher. Or connect with us on reachforitradio.com.